Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something that feels very much like the future, almost science fiction. Autonomous vehicles. You know, when you picture a self-driving car, you probably think about the AI, the sensors, the car just gliding through traffic. But there's this whole other layer, completely invisible but absolutely crucial, a foundation. I mean, this complex web of standards, regulations, international, national, all designed to make these things not just work, but be safe, trustworthy. So our mission today, really unpack this rule book, pull out the key insights so you can understand the framework governing this tech.
Yeah, and it's a vital mission because the source material we're looking at really hammers home how dynamic this whole field is. It's constantly shifting. It's not just the tech breakthroughs. It's the rule book itself. It's alive. It needs updates, careful interpretation. It's not some dusty old list.
Right.
So understanding this unseen infrastructure, this rule book for a revolution, as you put it, it isn't just academic. It's fundamental. It's how we make sure these vehicles are safe. It helps innovation by setting clear goals. And maybe most importantly, it builds public trust. Without that trust, autonomous driving stays a cool concept, not an everyday reality.
Absolutely. We do get caught up in the shiny car, the demos, but underneath this skeleton of rules. So my first thought is, why now?
Mm-hmm.
Why is standardization so incredibly critical in this space, especially as it's evolving so fast? Is it just about making things easier, or is there something more fundamental driving this need? What's the real why?
That's a great question. And the why is, well, it's rooted in the sheer complexity and the global nature of making cars today. Think about it. A car might be designed in, say, Germany, built in the U.S., tested somewhere else entirely, and then sold and driven all over the world.
Everywhere.
Exactly. So without some common ground, some agreed upon benchmarks for safety, for how systems talk to each other, for building that trust we mentioned, it would just be chaos, unsafe chaos. Standards give us that common language, that baseline. They let this global tech leap happen safely. It's not just efficiency, it's enablement. And the why digs into some really fundamental questions, you know, like how do we make absolutely sure these vehicles react safely? Not just on a perfect sunny day, but when something unexpected happens.
Yeah, the curveballs.
Exactly. What if a sensor gets blocked by mud or something weird falls off a truck? How do they talk to each other? To the traffic lights? How do we stop them getting hacked? That's a huge one. Remote disabling, data theft, messing with the driving controls. These are the nightmares standards are trying to prevent. It's about tackling these massive challenges up front with a solid framework. And tackling this, well, it takes a village, a global village. Our sources point to the key players setting these benchmarks. You've got the big international ones. ISO, the International Organization for Standardization. SAE International, crucial for defining the language, the levels of automation. Then there's the UNES, the UN Economic Commission for Europe. Their regulations often become actual law in many places.
Yep.
And ETSI, the European Telecommunications Standards Institute, vital for the V2X, the car communication stuff.
Okay.
But it's not just them. National bodies are also incredibly important. They adapt the rules. Sometimes they pioneer things, add local specifics. It's really a multi-layered system.
It really is an infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with those giants then, the international and European groups. These aren't dusty committees. They're genuinely shaping global safety.
Right.
First up, ISO. We hear that name a lot. How does their influence translate to self-driving cars?
Well, ISO's reach is massive. You're right. They set standards for almost everything. For autonomous vehicles, they provide some really core building blocks, especially around functional safety, making sure the electronics work right, and maybe even more interestingly, ensuring the whole system behaves safely even when the world isn't cooperating.
Okay, so break that down. What's an example?
Okay, let's take ISO 26262. This is the standard for functional safety in automotive electronics. absolutely fundamental. Its whole point is to prevent failures from bugs or faults in the car's electrical and electronic systems. So if a sensor glitches, or a chip has a defect, or there's a short circuit, ISO 26262 gives engineers a really strict process, from the first idea through design, testing, production, all the way to taking the car off the road years later. It makes them identify potential hazards, figure out how bad they could be using these things called ASILs, automotive safety integrity levels. ASIL D is the highest risk, like life-threatening potential failure. And for those high risks, you need incredibly tough design and testing, often redundant systems. The goal is, if something does fail, the system either keeps working safely or it fails predictably. Like, it performs a safe stop instead of losing control. It's about building in reliability and fault tolerance.
Okay, so that handles internal faults. But you mentioned something else about the system behaving safely even if it's working correctly.
Exactly. And that's where ISO 21448, or SOTIF Safety of the Intended Functionality, comes in. This is critical and kind of a newer way of thinking about safety. SOTIF tackles the risks that ISO 26262 doesn't cover. It asks, what if the system is working exactly as designed, no faults, but its inherent limitations or the messiness of its operating environment, its ODD, lead to danger?
Okay. So like, limitations of the tech itself.
Precisely. Think about those what-if scenarios. Heavy rain or fog where the sensors, even working perfectly, just can't see well enough. SOTIF addresses that. Or what about confusing road markings? The system might misinterpret them, even if its software is technically flawless.
Or unpredictable humans.
Yes. That's a huge one. Pedestrians stepping out, erratic drivers. SOTIF forces engineers to think about these messy, real-world situations and ensure the system still acts safely, even when it's technically working. The PAS in ISTEPS 21448.2019, by the way, that means publicly available specification. It shows this is still evolving. It's cutting-edge stuff the industry is actively working on and learning from. It broadens safety beyond just component failure.
That's a really key distinction. It's not just, does it work?
Mm-hmm.
But does it work safely in the real world?
Mm. Okay, what about the digital side? Cybersecurity. These things are basically connected computers.
Absolutely critical. Which brings us to ISOSA 21434 for cybersecurity engineering. And notice it's a joint ISOSA standard.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, it really highlights how cybersecurity isn't just an add-on. It's fundamental to the vehicle's design and how it operates out in the world. You can't separate them. It's not just about protecting the radio anymore. It's about protecting the core driving functions.
The stakes are incredibly high. Huge. Think about the potential attacks. Remotely disabling a car. Stealing personal data where you go, who's in the car? Or worse, actively messing with steering, brakes, acceleration.
Yeah, terrifying.
So ISOSASE 21434 aims to prevent that. It demands security be built in from the very start, security by design. It covers the whole life cycle, design, manufacturing, updates, even taking the car off the road eventually. Things like secure startup, encrypted communications, detecting intrusions, managing vulnerabilities, making the digital defenses as strong as the physical ones.
And with all this complex AI and machine learning making decisions, the software itself must be incredibly robust. How do you even test that?
That's where ISO 29119 for software testing comes in. It might sound a bit dry, but it's absolutely an unsung hero here. Because how do you guarantee that AI software is reliable, predictable, especially in situations it wasn't explicitly trained on? It's not like traditional codes.
Right, it learns.
It learns, exactly. So this standard provides guidelines for rigorously validating complex software. Unit tests, integration tests, system tests, making sure the code is correct, but more importantly, safe and predictable in the real world. It helps manage that enormous software complexity. ISO also gets really specific sometimes, like ISO 22737.2022. That one focuses just on low-speed automated driving, LSA.
So like campus shuttles or delivery bots.
Exactly. Things operating in controlled areas, maybe pedestrian zones, industrial sites, last mile delivery within a set area. The standard acknowledges that the risks and complexities there are different from high-speed highway driving.
Makes sense. Tailored rules for tailored uses.
Precisely. And then there's ISO TR 4804.202. It's a technical report, not a full standard you certify against, but it provides guidance on the overall functional requirements for the whole automated driving system. It helps look at the big picture, how all the sensors, software, actuators, the driver interface, how it all works together as one complete safe system that can actually handle the driving task. It's like a blueprint for the whole system's expected performance.
Okay, so ISO lays this incredibly detailed groundwork for safe systems, handling faults, real-world weirdness, cybersecurity, software testing, even specific uses. Now, SAE International, you said they're more like the linguistic architects, defining the terms.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, SAE International, the Society of Automotive Engineers, their most famous contribution is undoubtedly SAE J through 016, the levels of driving automation.
Ah, oh, yes, levels 0 to 5. Everyone seems to quote those.
They do, and for good reason. Before J3016, talk about self-driving was just a mess, total confusion. This standard brought clarity, a universal scale from level 0, no automation, right up to level 5, fully automated everywhere. It gave everyone, engineers, regulators, us, a common language.
Can we quickly run through them again? Because that jump from level 2 to level 3 seems like the really big deal, the one where responsibility fundamentally shifts.
Absolutely. It is the critical shift. Let's clarify. Level 0, fully manual, old school car. Level 1, driver assistance, basic cruise control, maybe lane keeping assist. Driver does almost everything. Level 2, partial automation. This is where you get adaptive cruise control plus lane centering working together, like Tesla's Autopilot or GM's Super Cruise. But and this is crucial, the human must stay engaged, monitor everything, be ready to take over instantly. Hands might be off briefly, but eyes and brain must be on the road. Responsibility is 100% human.
Okay, that's the source of a lot of confusion right there.
Huge confusion. Anna, level 3, conditional automation. This is the eyes off, mind potentially off driving leap under specific limited conditions, maybe highway traffic jams below a certain speed. The car handles everything. You don't have to watch the road. However, the system will ask you to take back control if it hits its limit, and you must be ready to do so. If you don't, the system needs a fallback, usually a safe stop. That handover is a massive technical and human factors challenge.
Right, and that's where liability really starts to blur.
Yeah. Exactly. Then level 4, high automation. The car does everything within its specific operational design domain, maybe a geofenced city area or only in good weather. No expectation for human intervention within that ODD. If it hits a limit, it handles the safe stop itself. Think robo-taxis in defined zones.
Okay.
And finally, level 5, full automation, the dream. The car drives itself anywhere, anytime, under any conditions a human could. No driver needed, ever.
So why does getting these levels right matter so much?
It's fundamental. Manufacturers need it to clearly state capabilities, avoid misleading claims. Regulators need it to create appropriate rules for different levels. And crucially, you need it to understand what the car can do and what your responsibility is. It prevents dangerous confusion. It clarifies that massive question, when does the machine take over responsibility, even partially? That definition underpins everything from safety to insurance.
Makes sense. What else does SAE do besides the levels?
Well, they also provide SAE J3136, which is a taxonomy and definitions document. Sounds dry, I know, but getting the terminology absolutely precise is vital. In a field this complex, where safety and legal clarity are paramount, everyone, engineers, lawyers, policymakers, consumers, needs to use the exact same words to mean the exact same thing. Avoids ambiguity, misinterpretation, potential danger.
Got it. Precision matters.
Hugely. And another really key one from SAE is J3163, which covers over-the-air OTA communication best practices.
The software updates.
Exactly. And these aren't just for, you know, updating your maps or infotainment. OTA is essential for pushing out critical security patches, fixing bugs, upgrading driving features, improving performance based on real-world data.
So the car keeps getting better and right. Safer after you buy it.
That's the goal. This standard ensures those updates are delivered reliably, efficiently, but most importantly, securely. You can't have hackers interfering with a safety update. It protects the car's integrity long after it leaves the factory.
Okay, so SAE provides the language, the levels, and the rules for secure updates.
Mm-hmm.
What about UNES, the UN Economic Commission for Europe? You said their standards often become law.
That's right. UNES regulations are a big deal because when member countries adopt them, and many do, across Europe and even beyond, to harmonize rules, they become legally binding. Manufacturers must comply to sell vehicles there.
So they're less like guidelines and more like actual market entry requirements.
Precisely. They act as a legal gateway, and they play a huge role in regulating the building blocks of automation, those ADAS features. Lane keeping, auto emergency braking, adaptive cruise. By standardizing these precursors, UNES helps ensure the foundation is solid before more complex automated systems are added. It's a step-by-step approach.
Any specific examples?
Sure. UN regulation known as OTA9TIME deals with steering equipment. Even something seemingly basic like steering needs totally new rules for automation. How does the system take control safely, hand it back smoothly? What are its limits? This reg sets the framework. And then there's UN Regulation Number 157. This one is very specific. It's for automated lane keeping systems, ALKS. These are level three systems, the eyes-off kind we talked about, but only under very specific conditions like highway traffic jams below 60 kilometers.
So it's tackling specific automated features head-on.
Exactly. It details exactly how ALKS must work. Speed limits, how they react to emergencies, how the handover to the driver must happen, including what happens if the driver doesn't respond. It's a concrete legal pathway for deploying these advanced systems, and it sets a precedent for regulating future more complex ones.
That specificity is really interesting. It makes me think these cars aren't islands, are they? They need to communicate to see beyond their own sensors. Is that where ETSI comes in, the telecommunication standards folks?
Spot on. ETSI, the European Telecommunication Standards Institute, focuses squarely on V2X, vehicle-to-everything communications. This is absolutely fundamental for what's called cooperative autonomous driving.
Cooperative, meaning cars working together.
Essentially, yes. Without V2X, a car relies only on its own eyes and ears, cameras, radar, LiDAR. Powerful, but limited. They can't see around corners, through trucks, or miles down the road. V2X gives them that extra perception.
So how does V2X work? What are the everythings?
Okay, let's break it down. There are a few key parts. V2V, vehicle to vehicle. Cars talking directly to each other, sharing speed, direction, if they're braking hard, if there's black ice ahead. Imagine the car in front brakes suddenly, your car gets that message instantly, reacting faster than sensors alone could. Big safety boost.
Okay, makes sense.
V2I, vehicle to infrastructure. Cars talking to things like smart traffic lights, road signs, maybe sensors at intersections, warning about pedestrians. The light could tell the car when it's changing, optimizing traffic flow.
Right, less stopping and starting.
V2P, vehicle to pedestrian, or vulnerable road users. The car communicates with smartphones or special tags carried by people walking or cycling. It can detect someone even if they're hidden behind a parked car. Huge for safety.
Wow, okay.
And V2N, vehicle to network. This is communication with the cloud for traffic updates, map data, those OTA software updates we mentioned, remote diagnostics. Put it all together, and V2X gives the car a kind of sixth sense. It perceives way beyond its own sensors, understands the environment much more completely. It enables cars to cooperate, which is crucial for higher levels of automation, smoother traffic, and much better safety. It's a network effect on wheels.
Okay, that paints a really clear picture of the international scene, ISO, SAE, UNES, ETSI, laying down global rules and communication protocols. Let's zoom in now to Europe specifically. How do the EU's own regulations build on this or maybe push things further?
Right. So European regulations are direct legal mandates, not optional guidelines. Manufacturers must comply to sell cars in the EU. It's about creating a single, harmonized market with a consistently high safety bar across all member states.
So what are the key EU regulations we should know about?
Well, a really big one is the General Safety Regulation, the GSR regulation, EU 2019-2144. This came in recently and mandated a whole suite of new safety features for all new vehicles. Crucially, many of these are advanced driver assistance systems, ADS, things like intelligent speed assistance, driver drowsiness warnings, advanced emergency braking, lane keeping assist, event data recorders like black boxes.
So making the basic car safer even before full automation.
Exactly, it's building that stronger foundation. By making these ADS features compulsory, the EU is ensuring all new vehicles have essential safety tech that also happens to be prerequisites for higher automation levels. It raises the safety floor for everyone.
And then there's the approval process itself, getting these cars certified for sale.
Yes, that's handled by specific directives and regulations for vehicle type approval, or homologation, as it's often called in Europe. This is the absolutely critical process. Before any new vehicle model can be sold, it has to go through rigorous testing and certification to prove it meets all the relevant safety, environmental, and performance standards, every single one.
And for autonomous vehicles, that must be incredibly complex.
Hugely complex. Regulators need to be convinced that the entire automated driving system complies with all these layered standards, ISO, UNES, EU rules, and is demonstrably safe for public roads. It's the ultimate gatekeeper. And testing AI, as we discussed, adds whole new challenges to this process.
Is there a specific regulation governing that approval process?
Yes, Regulation EU 2018-A58 is key here. It lays out the detailed requirements for homologation, type approval, and, very importantly, market surveillance.
Market surveillance,
Yeah.
meaning checking cars after they're sold.
Exactly. It's not just about meeting standards before sale. Market surveillance gives authorities the power to check vehicles already on the road, investigate potential safety problems, and order recalls if necessary. It ensures ongoing compliance throughout the vehicle's life. Super important for tech that evolves with software updates.
Okay, so we have the international standards, the specific EU legal requirements, but you mentioned individual countries also play a role. Let's look at the US and Germany. You said they have quite different approaches.
Yeah, they do. National rules often fill gaps, adapt to local laws, or even push ahead in certain areas faster than international agreements allow. The USA is often described as a patchwork. The federal government agency, NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, provides important guidelines on AV safety, testing, incident reporting. These are influential but often aren't strict, binding laws.
So more like recommendations.
Often, yes. The real complexity in the U.S. comes from state legislation. Individual states have passed their own laws, and they vary a lot.
How so?
Well, some states like California or Arizona are very permissive, encouraging testing and deployment. Others are much more cautious, maybe requiring human safety drivers, limiting where AVs can operate.
That sounds like a nightmare for manufacturers trying to deploy nationwide.
It definitely creates challenges. Mm-hmm. A car perfectly legal in one state might face different rules or even be prohibited just across the state line. It adds layers of complexity and cost to testing and rollout. It's this constant tension between state-level innovation and the need for national consistency.
In Germany, you said they're different.
Very different. Germany took a pioneering step with its Autonomous Driving Act, part of the STVG, their Road Traffic Act, passed in 2021. This law specifically regulates the approval and operation of Level 4 autonomous vehicles on public roads. It provides a clear, unified legal framework for truly driverless operation under defined conditions.
So they basically jumped ahead to create rules for highly automated systems.
Pretty much. It gives manufacturers and operators a much clearer, more predictable legal environment for deploying these advanced systems. Germany's proactive approach is seen as a model by many other countries figuring out how to handle Level 4 technology safely and legally.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. We've mapped out this incredible landscape of individual standards, regulations, national laws. But it feels like there must be these overarching themes, these big picture challenges that cut across everything we've discussed, the core issues that really define the future here.
You're absolutely right. Beyond the individual stucks and rules, there are these major thematic areas. They tie everything together and represent the biggest hurdles, the areas where the most intense work is happening.
So what are they?
Well, first and fundamentally linked are functional safety and cybersecurity. We've touched on ISO 26262 and ISO 21434, but we have to stress how interdependent they are. A car can be functionally safe, its components work reliably, fail safely, but if it gets hacked, that safety is gone. The system might be doing what the hacker tells it, not what its original safety design intended.
Right.
Conversely, perfect cybersecurity doesn't help if the brakes are fundamentally flawed. You need both. Tightly integrated. It's a constant battle. Absolutely top priority for safety and trust. You can't separate them.
Okay, safety and security is one package.
Yeah.
What's next?
The levels of automation, SAE J316 again. But thinking about their broader impact, these levels aren't just technical labels. They're crucial for setting public expectations.
Managing what people think the car can do.
Exactly. Misunderstanding the difference between level 2, driver still responsible, and level 3, car responsible under conditions, is dangerous. The levels define driver responsibility or lack thereof. They shape regulations. They even impact how we might need to rethink driver education eventually. Getting the levels understood is vital.
And the process of actually getting these cars approved.
Right. Type approval and testing, omologazione e-test. This is where the rubber meets the road, regulatorily speaking. All those standards, UNES, national rules feed into this process. It's the gatekeeper. But the huge challenge now is, how do you effectively test and approve a system driven by AI and machine learning? Old testing methods might not cut it for systems that learn and adapt.
How do you test something that might behave differently tomorrow than it did today?
Precisely. It requires new approaches,
yeah.
Massive real-world data, incredibly sophisticated simulations, validating the AI's learning process itself, checking for bias, robustness against unexpected situations. It's a huge area of development.
Okay, what else? There must be concerns beyond the purely technical.
Oh, definitely. Data protection and privacy. This is massive. These cars are data vacuum cleaners. They collect information about where you go, what's around the car, maybe even who's inside. How you drive.
Yeah, that raises red flags for a lot of people.
Understandably. Regulations like GDPR in Europe, various US state laws, they try to govern how this data is collected, used, stored, shared. But it's a constant tension. The data is needed for safety improvements for the system to work, but privacy rights are fundamental. Finding that balance, ensuring security and clear consent is critical for public acceptance.
And then the question everyone asks when something goes wrong.
The elephant in the room. Civil liability. Responsabilitas civil. If an autonomous car crashes, who pays? Who's legally responsible?
The manufacturer. The software company.
Yeah.
The owner. The AI itself.
Exactly. Our current legal frameworks, mostly built around human error and negligence, don't always fit neatly. Is it a product defect? Should there be strict liability where fault doesn't matter? Or some kind of shared responsibility? Lawmakers and courts worldwide are grappling with this. The answers will shape the insurance market, costs, and ultimately how comfortable society is with letting machines drive. It's a profound legal and ethical puzzle.
And finally, the core technology itself.
Right, artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning ML, the brains of the operation. They allow cars to perceive, predict, decide. But their learning nature, sometimes being a black box, makes validation incredibly hard. How do you certify a system that's constantly evolving? How do you ensure it's not biased, that it's robust against situations it hasn't seen? New standards are emerging specifically to tackle AI validation, focusing on explainability, bias detection, robustness testing. This is right at the cutting edge of both tech and regulation, building trust in the machine's decisions. And, you know, underlining all of this is the fact that, as we've said, this whole field is moving so fast. These standards aren't chiseled in stone. They can't be. They have to be living documents, constantly adapting to new tech, better sensors, faster chips, smarter AI, adapting to new ways AVs are used, and crucially, adapting based on what we learn from real-world driving, including accidents. It's this continuous loop. Innovation pushes regulation. Regulation guides innovation. Real-world data refines both. It's very much an ongoing journey, not a finished picture.
So pulling it all together, what really stands out is that a single self-driving car isn't just a car. It rests on this incredibly complex, global, and constantly shifting foundation of rules and guidelines. It really underscores the scale of the challenge engineering, legal, ethical, and the massive collaborative effort that's going into making this technology safe and reliable enough for all of us. Yeah, to recap, it's not just about the cool tech. It's about this painstaking global effort to write the new rules of the road, literally and figuratively, making sure it's safe, secure, actually beneficial. We've definitely hit some aha moments today, like the depth of SOCTEF thinking beyond just component failure to real-world limitations, the clarity the SAE levels bring, even with the confusion around level 2 versus 3, and these huge evolving areas. Cybersecurity, privacy, and that massive liability question.
And that complexity leaves us with a final thought, something for you to chew on. Given how fast both the tech and these rules are evolving, what truly unexpected societal or ethical challenges might pop up when level 5 cars, fully autonomous, anywhere, anytime, actually become common? Think beyond just the driving. How might our cities change, our jobs, our sense of personal freedom or responsibility? How will our current legal systems need to fundamentally transform to handle machines making life or death calls routinely, with potentially no human involved at all? It's a future that requires deep thinking, starting now.
Absolutely. It really makes you appreciate how interconnected the tech and the rules are. Understanding this unseen infrastructure helps you get beyond the hype and really grasp what's involved in this transformation. We hope this deep dive into that invisible framework has given you a valuable new perspective. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.